Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 234 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk a lot of boys golf tonight as the Class 4A state meet will be held on Friday and Saturday at Otter Creek, and both the Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial squads have qualified for the first for the meet for the first time since 2020. My first guest is the head coach of the Ankeny team, and his squad will host the meet on their home course. The 8th-ranked Hawks shot a 307 on Monday to place third in a district meet at Fort Dodge, finishing three strokes ahead of LaMarche for the last qualifying spot. He's Mike Wedingfeld. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, as always. It's great to sit down and talk with you.
Hey, you bet. It's a great time of year. We said Monday was a stressful day because your team didn't get off to a great start, and then you struggled toward the end as the guys were finishing on some of the tougher holes there at the Fort Dodge Country Club. You know, but they got the job done. That's all that matters, right?
Exactly. It's always hard in golf, as you know, they don't have a scoreboard up there to see really where you totally stand in the district meet. The state meet, I think they're going to have some scores posted tomorrow throughout the day, so you can kind of see that. But yeah, you never really know for sure where you stand, and you just hope to do the best. And when it's most important, you start seeing a few bogeys here and there, and then your heart sinks a little bit, and you get a little more nervous than normal. But yeah, we made it out, so that was our goal, and we accomplished it.
Well, your team had shot a 294 on that course to win the Fort Dodge Invitational on August 28th, so I'm sure you were hoping that your guys could duplicate that score on Monday. But I guess the conditions were a little tougher, huh?
They were a lot different. We had been up there the week prior on Sunday, and it had rained an inch the night before, so the greens were kind of a little more receptive. And then we hit that 90 degree and it was windy, and the following Saturday when we went up and played, it was 93 degrees, the wind was blowing 15-20 miles an hour, so everything had dried out. So it was a completely different golf course, as far as you really couldn't hit the same shots you could the week before into the green and expect them to hold. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd hit a great shot in there pin high and it would take a bounce and roll clear off the back. And then the greens are sloped out there, so then you have to chip back downhill and then it'd roll off the front. And so it was good that we went up there two different times and got to see that golf course, because it played different. It was a totally different golf course within a week.
Well, the two teams that finished ahead of you are both from the CIML conference as well. Number one Johnston and number four Valley. The Tigers post a score of 292, and the defending state champion Dragons shot a 297. Now, your team has had some good battles against both of those teams this season, and you had just beaten Valley by one shot at the conference meet last Wednesday at Jester Park. So did you kind of expect, you know, the three teams from your conference to qualify for state?
I did. I think if you look around at all the districts, you kind of they had their favorites, and that's why they do the districts the way they do. They hope that the teams that are kind of the top tier mm-hmm. teams will make it out of each district. So I thought we had stood a really good chance. But like I said, when I look back at the meet that we won earlier in the year, Lamar's was up there, and I think they shot right around 310 that time as well. So I knew they were one that could give us a run. As you know, with our team, you know, it always helps if you have one or two guys that go low. We didn't really have that. We just had kind of that middle range. So we didn't shoot as well as we do sometimes, but thank goodness it was good enough.
Well, yeah, Drew Henson led your team with the fourth place finish. He shot a 73. Jacob Adams, Evan Hodapp, and Duncan Bilner each had a 78 for your other counting scores. And like you said, I'm sure all of your guys would have liked to shoot a little better, but you got four scores in the 70s, and a lot of times that's good enough.
Yeah, and that's what we always strive for. Early in the season, the meets that we've gone low, you know, Drew's gone low several times early in the season, middle season. Jacob's gone low for us. You know, Evan and Duncan and all the guys are capable of going low, truthfully. It's just, it's a different time of the year. It starts to mean a lot more towards the end, especially on districts. I know Drew played a great round, I think. I can't remember what hole it is where you hit your tee shot into the water there and had a penalty stroke, but I think that was the only penalty stroke he had all day. So, you know, could have got a couple strokes back there or one stroke maybe, but you know, you just kind of start pushing and you know what your score is and you start thinking, oh, is this good enough or not? And so that puts even more stress on at the end of the year, where middle of the year you're just kind of, it's another tournament and let's go play golf. So
Well, you told me on Monday that this could be one of the toughest and closest state meets that you could remember. The top nine teams in the new rankings that came out after the district meet all made it to state. So even though you guys are playing on your home course, I mean, you guys still have your work cut out for you, don't you?
Definitely, definitely. It is our home course, but I think it's got to be the second home to Centennial. I mean, all those kids that play over there play probably Otter just as much. Some mm-hmm. of them, you know, work over here throughout the years and play here a lot. I know Johnston and Waukee have been over, and they played a triangular earlier in the year out there at Otter. So all the teams around here, I'm sure, have played Otter a lot. It's one of those courses that you can score well on it, but I think with the weather tomorrow, I think that's going to be, especially the wind, a huge equalizer. And I wouldn't be surprised if the scores are a little higher tomorrow. And then Saturday, we'll see if the wind dies down, might be a little more normal scores.
Well, of course, some of your conference rivals played here for the Ankeny Invitational on September 6th. Number 6 Southeast Polk won that meet with a 290 that day. They edged number 5 Dowling by a stroke. Your team shot a 306 that day and placed 5th, but I know that obviously, you know, wasn't your best meet. Do you feel like the teams from this part of the state, and you kind of just touched on this, but you know that they would have an advantage over the teams from Eastern Iowa?
Exactly, yeah, because like I said, some of them played in our invite. They've been over here. It's easy to run over, you know, after school and play a quick 9 holes for some of these guys that are 10, 15, 20 minutes away. They've been out on the weekends and played practice rounds because it's just really easy to do that. When you have to travel several hours, it takes a lot more planning to get out and play those practice rounds. So, like I said, we know all those teams are solid. I mean, we've seen them week after week after week. You know, when I look at our wins and losses at the end of the year, our losses are to a lot of the same teams because we all play each other week after
right.
week. And we've beat them, and they've beat us, and so it can go either way. It just depends on the day. And our guys know that they can play well at Otter. I think it gives us a little bit of that calmness because it's just another day at Otter Creek, although it means a heck of a lot more than normal.
Oh, sure. Well, I mentioned that Johnston is the defending champ, and they are ranked number 1, but they have been beatable this season. Valley just did it at Monday's district meet. You know, do you feel like they're the favorite going in, or do you feel like it's pretty wide open?
I do. I mean, you got to give them credit for being the defending champs, and they have a great record. They went 8-0 or 9, yeah, 8-0 mm-hmm. in our conference, mm-hmm. won our conference. So, yeah, I got to give them that, and they've been around, but I think it's just wide open. I think it's who gets hot for 2 days. And like I said, tomorrow with the weather, whichever team can handle those elements. I talked to my guys tonight at the beginning of practice. I said, you have to go out with the expectations that it's going to be a higher round. And sometimes that's hard to accept because you know you can go out there and shoot 72 or 68. But the weather conditions play a huge factor into that. And when you have those really good rounds, usually it's on a day where the weather's pretty nice. And
sure.
It's not going to be that tomorrow.
Well, Johnston won last year's meet at Elmcrest Country Club with a 595 total. And with the conditions, like you mentioned, tomorrow and possibly Saturday, it's probably hard to even predict what kind of a score might win it, huh?
It is, really. I have no idea. Some of the courses or some of the holes at Otter are going to be against the wind, which are going to make them really, really long, and some of them are going to be downwind. And as far as these guys hit the ball anymore, if they take advantage of those holes that are downwind, there's probably some birdies and some eagles out there. Then you don't play as well maybe on the ones into the wind, and it all equals out, and you know, maybe somebody gets hot and goes low. I don't know, but also being the first cold snap of the year, you know, after coming off of winter and you play golf in March, 58 feels pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're coming off of 90s for a week, 58 feels pretty cold, so it's just a little different. You hit the ball, comes off the club face different and flies different, and your hands are different, so we'll see.
One of the things that you've liked about your team this year is that you can count on all 6 of your guys to pick up the slack if one of them has an off day. Drew has been pretty reliable as your number 1 guy, but the other players have really stepped up at times, like you kind of touched on. Adam shot a 68 for the second time this season at the Southeast Polk invite 2 weeks ago, and Billner also scored in the 60s. We hit a 69 at Willow Creek last month in a triangular meet. You know, and even though Kyler Cremins and Caden Weddingfeld didn't score for you on Monday, you know, I'm sure you feel like both of those guys are capable of posting, you know, one of your counting scores this weekend.
They are, and truthfully, Kyler and Caden both talked to me after their round at districts. They both said they hit the ball the best they've hit it all year. Their putting was off. I think Caden had 39 putts and Kyler had 38. So you take away those putts and you think you should, if you 2-putt at every hole, you know, and then you should have some 1-putts in there. So when you're getting into those mid to upper 30s, that's a lot of putts. So they both could have easily taken 7-8 strokes off their round and been in the low 70s right there. So that's frustrating to hit the ball that well and then sometimes not score. And I think the other guys kind of were the same way. Again, the greens were faster than normal, and there was leaves falling on some of them. So, you know, just those different things that you have to deal with in fall golf. But I think all the guys right now are hitting the ball great. The mental side of it, as we talked about, will come into it. So I think we're ready to go, and being on our home course, and any of them have the capability. So I hope they all shoot great, and I hope they all shoot 72, and we just count all six.
There you go. Well, it should be a fun meet. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe not looking forward to the weather, but I'll see you out there, Mike. Thanks for coming in.
Yep. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior for the Hawks, and he has been the team's number one player all season. He has been a six-time medalist, and he is currently ranked fifth in the state with a 36.47 average. He is Drew Henson. Drew, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Well, congratulations on making it to state. You know, after missing by one stroke individually in each of the last 2 years and by one shot as a team last year, you know, it had to be a huge relief to get over that hump, huh?
Yeah, it was great. It was tough mental barrier the last couple of years, but it was good to tackle that finally.
Well, you placed fourth on Monday with a 73, and I know you told me afterwards that it was far from perfect round, you know, but it got the job done, and that's all that matters, right?
Right.
Well, now, did you have any idea how close the team race was with Lamar's as the meet went on, or maybe you guys, you know, prefer just to go out there and play your game and not think about the team scores, huh?
I was trying not to think about it too much, just post a score that would help our team, but at the end, once a lot of scores were in, I realized it was pretty close and came down to it, but thankfully we got it done.
Well, going into the meet, you know, how high was your confidence level? I know Coach told me that maybe there were some nerves at the beginning of the meet for you guys. You know, would you agree?
There's always some nerves, yeah. Coming into districts, especially the way it ended for us the last couple of years, there's definitely some nerves coming into it.
Well, now you guys get to play in the state meet on your home course, and this will obviously be the last meet of your high school career, but it can't get much better than that, huh? You know, you must be pretty excited to get out there tomorrow.
Right.
Well, the weather's supposed to be quite a bit cooler, like Coach mentioned here, the next couple of days. I think the high temperature tomorrow is going to be in the mid-50s. It's supposed to be pretty windy. You guys have played a lot of meets, you know, in hot weather this fall. But are you kind of glad that it is going to be a little cooler?
I don't mind the cold weather. Obviously, it's something to adjust to, but I don't think it's really something that's going to make it much difficult for our team. I think the wind is probably what's going to be the difficulty.
Biggest factor, huh? Right. Well, I'm sure you feel like your team can be a factor in the team race, you know, especially playing on your home course. You know, how much of an advantage do you think that's going to be for you guys?
It's definitely an advantage. You know, this week we've been the only team that's been able to get on the course, and that makes a big difference just between how the Fort Dodge Country Club was. It's a big difference. They're really tight, pretty hilly, mm-hmm. firm greens, and now we're coming to an open course where it's going to be really windy and softer greens, and definitely an advantage for us to be able to adjust to a different course.
Well, other than your team, you know, what schools do you think, you know, will be in contention for the title?
Like you said, Johnston, they've been really solid all year. Valley as well. Pretty much all the teams in our conference have been really solid all year, and I think they all could go and win it.
Well, I asked Coach, you know, what kind of a score he thought might take it, you know, to win the team title. As far as the individual race goes, what kind of a score do you think it might take to win it?
It's really tough to tell. With the way the weather's going to be tomorrow, there could be, winner could be a few over, but then, you know, Saturday, if it turns around and it's nicer weather, someone could go low, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if, you know, if somebody shot under 140, if that would win it, but that'd probably be a really good score in those conditions.
Right,
huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned that you are ranked fifth in the state. Andrew Johansson of Johnston is ranked number one. He's followed by Braden Nelson of Valley. I'm sure you've played multiple rounds with both of those guys this season, and Nelson was the runner-up at last year's meet. He finished one stroke behind Reed Hall of Cedar Rapids Kennedy, who's ranked third in the state. Do you think Hall has any advantage being, you know, the defending champion?
Definitely there's a little bit of confidence with that that I think will help him, and, you know, maybe not as big of nerves going into it, but he's also an individual qualifier, so I think that makes it a little more difficult when you don't got guys around you to sort of be around and
right.
help you calm down.
Well, there certainly are a lot of contenders. Jack Rogers of Iowa City High shot a 67 on Monday. He won the district meet at Pheasant Ridge. And Dylan Krakow of Iowa City West, who wasn't even ranked among the top 50 golfers in the state, he kind of came out of nowhere to win the district at Brown Deer with a 66. So even though you don't see those guys from Eastern Iowa during the season, do you know a lot of those guys from the summer tournament circuit?
Yeah, I know a lot of those names, and I've played against a lot of them in other tournaments, and we got a lot of good golfers in Iowa. We don't get to see most of those guys throughout our season, but there's some good guys over there too.
Well, Bennett Dolter of Wallert Catholic will be in your foursome on Friday, along with two players from the CIML, Sam Wahman of Southeast Polk and Carter Yergay of Dowling. You guys will tee off from number one at 11:15, so you'll be the last of Yankees players to tee off. Since the meet starts at 10:30, is that kind of hard to stand around for 45 minutes waiting to tee off, or do you use that time to maybe go to the practice screen or the range?
It's a little difficult, you know, especially when there's a lot of nerves in it. To have to sit around and wait that long can be tough, but yeah, and just got to find something to do. Stay busy.
Yep. Well, hey, good luck tomorrow, Drew, and I'll be out there. I'll see you.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast, and MJ is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic now. We enjoy their use of the office over here at the new Standard Building behind the Come and Go on Northeast 36th, and we appreciate their sponsorship of the podcast. I'd like to mention that if you have a business here in Ankeny, if you have any interest in becoming a part of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast or any of our other sponsorship opportunities with us, you can reach out to me by email at ankenyfanatic@gmail.com. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Centennial team, and the 13th-ranked Jaguars shot a 307 on Monday to play second in a district meet on their home course at Briarwood, and that will give them a chance to play in the state meet on another course that the Centennial players are very familiar with. He is Andrew Reedy. Andrew, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Appreciate you guys coming in. Well, you guys accomplished your goal of making it to state, but it certainly wasn't easy. You told me on Monday that you guys really struggled at the start of the meet, and you really had to make a huge comeback late in the round to get it done, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. These kids showed some guts on Monday. Through six holes, they were 16 over par cumulative, and you know, Tate was one of them. He was four over through eight holes, and you know, the last 12 holes as a team, they played three over par, so they turned it around, and it's pretty cool to see.
Well, number six Southeast Polk shot a 292 to easily win the meet. Number five Dowling placed third with a 310 and also qualified for state. So going into the meet, do you kind of expect the three teams from your conference to advance?
Yeah, you know, going in, we were kind of looking at things and knowing that we were going to have a chance. We'd actually, everybody in the field we had beaten at some point, including Southeast Polk. At Marshalltown, we actually edged them by two strokes. So I kept telling the guys, look, we literally beat everybody in this field. We can beat everybody. So it was kind of a four or five man race if you kind of looked at it objectively. And then there were a couple teams that surprised me anyway a little bit, and were in the mix. At that point, I was saying that we were 16 over through six holes. We were actually in eighth place. So Linmar was kind of making some noise. Cedar Rapids Prairie was up there. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Prairie and Linmar both posted a 315 total, so that they were just on the outside looking in at the end of the day. So were those the two teams maybe that you felt like going in, that they were the ones you had to beat to qualify?
Them, Waukee, and, you know, Norwalk was a team that throughout the year had, you know, put up some scores that were competitive. So, yeah.
Well, Tate Logan led your team with a fifth-place finish, shooting a 74. And like all of your guys, he really closed out his round with a strong finish. You kind of touched on it, but, man, he showed a lot of guts, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Tate is a kid. You know, I remember having a discussion with him at a round at Jester Park early in the year, and another situation where he was, I don't remember what it was, 10, 11 over par through not very many holes, and just kind of talked to him about, hey, you know, you can pack it in here, or you can make the decision to fight. And I think that was one of the times that he decided he was going to fight, and that gave him the belief that he could do it later in the year. So many times throughout the season, Tate's been able to do that.
Well, Jackson Lewis took ninth with a 75. Charlie Morrissey was 15th with a 78. And Nathan Bollert had your fourth counting score with an 80. So it was really a team effort, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Jackson Lewis, I can't say enough. So he's a kid that that was the third time he'd broken 80 in competition this year. And to do it at the district tournament and shoot three over par, he made a triple and a double during the round as well. And was able to just bounce right back and put up a good score for us, a score we needed.
Well, Coach Wedingfeld at Ankeny told me that he thinks this could be one of the toughest and closest state meets that he remembers. The top nine teams in the new rankings after the district meets all made it to state, so the best teams are definitely going to be there. You know, there isn't a lot of pressure on you guys based on where you're ranked. You know, what's your team's goal going into the meet?
So my team and I have talked a lot about belief throughout the season and believing that we belong. And the point that I've been hammering home is over that stretch of 12 holes on Monday, we played with one of, and at times probably the best teams in the state in Southeast Polk. So over that 12 hole stretch, we beat Southeast Polk for that 12 hole stretch. So it's there, their games are there, putting it together for an entire 36 holes. And then we have a belief that the weather, the wind's going to kick up tomorrow and going to get a little cool. And, I think that plays into our favor a little bit too. So I won't give a exact goal, but we're not playing just for two free rounds, I'll tell you that.
There you go. Well, yeah, your team played in the Ankeny Invitational at Otter Creek on September 6th, and you played sixth with a 307 total. And I know you guys are already familiar with the course, but can you take some things away from that earlier round that will be helpful this weekend?
Well, of course. Yeah, we played a practice round before that. We played that event. These kids have played it their whole lives, most of them. And, you know, all of it was with the eye on this event. And we prepared the whole season for this event.
Well, Johnston is the defending state champ and is ranked number one, but the Dragons were just beaten by Valley in the district meet at Fort Dodge. Southeast Polk shot a 290 to win the Ankeny Invitational last month, and Dowling was just one stroke behind. You know, so who do you feel like is the favorite going into the meet, or do you think it's kind of wide open?
I truly do think it's wide open. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of good players in the state and a lot of good teams. And, you know, I'm going to continue the messaging for my kids. Are going to be, we've proven we can play with those teams, and we've proven that toughness is in our blood and in part of our character. So let's go and try to compete with those teams.
Well, Johnston won last year's meet at Elmcrest Country Club with a 595 total. And I was just talking with Coach Weddingfeld about this. You know, with the weather conditions, it's probably kind of hard to predict what kind of score might win this meet, huh?
Oh, really, really hard to predict. They'll definitely be higher than scores that teams are used to shooting this year. Again, which I think plays into our favor a little bit.
Well, it should be a fun meet. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you out there, Andrew.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right. My next guest is a senior for the Jaguars, and he has been the team's number one player for much of the season. He currently leads the squad with a 39.08 average for nine holes. He is Tate Logan. Tate, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on making it to state. You know, as Coach told me on Monday, this was your one and only chance to qualify for state as a senior, and you came through with flying colors. I mean, it had to be a huge relief to make it, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely fun, and I had a great time doing it.
Well, like you mentioned, you were four over par through eight holes, and then you played the final 10 holes in two under. How were you able to keep your composure and not let that round get away from you?
I knew that going into 16, 17, and 18, that stretch, that anything can happen there. I mean, we've seen it happen with me and other people on our team, and definitely people that have never played that course before, that those three holes are really tough and that anything can happen on them.
Now, did you know that some of your teammates were struggling as well and that you guys, you know, were really going to have to finish strong in order to place in the top three?
Yeah, I knew that. Some people had told me that we were kind of behind, but I had faith in all of our guys that we've done it before in the past where we've came back after going into the back nine, and we were able to do it again.
Well, going into the meet, you know, how high was your confidence level knowing that you guys were playing on your home course? Did you feel like that was a big advantage?
That's definitely a big advantage. Anytime that you're able to play a course that you're super familiar with definitely just gives you a lot of confidence against other teams.
Now, do you think you guys may have had some nerves at the start? Could that have contributed to the slow start?
I think so. Just most guys have never played, like including me. Zach is the only one that had played in a district meet before. So I think all of us didn't really know what to expect too much.
Well, now your team gets to play in the state meet at Otter Creek, which is another course that you're very familiar with. And of course, this will be the last meet of your high school career. Are you pretty excited to get out there tomorrow?
Oh yeah, I'm super excited. I'm ready to compete.
Well, the weather is supposed to be much cooler the next couple days. And like Coach mentioned, that the wind might be kicking up a little bit. The temperature's supposed to be in the mid-50s tomorrow. You guys have played a lot of meets in some hot weather this fall. So are you kind of glad, though, that it's going to be a little cooler the next couple days?
I'd rather it be 100 degrees than 55, but we're definitely one of the tougher teams when it comes to battling out there. So I feel like we have a good chance.
Well, I'm sure you feel like your team, you know, can be a factor in the team race, especially if several guys are playing well at the same time. You know, what is your goal for the team?
I'd say just really breaking 300 if we can, if the weather's decent enough, and really just playing the best we can out there with the weather.
Well, there are so many good teams that qualified for the meet. What schools do you think will be the ones to beat this weekend?
definitely Johnston, Southeast Polk has played really good there in the past, and they're super deep team. Ankeny, obviously, with it being their home course, you know, that won't play as big of a factor, I don't think, with the weather, but it definitely still helps.
Well, Coach mentioned that it might be kind of hard to predict, you know, a winning team score, but as far as the individual race goes, what kind of a score do you think, you know, might take to win it?
With the weather, how it's supposed to be, how cold it is and all that, I think really anywhere around 75 for the 2 days would be something really good.
Well, you kind of mentioned this as far as the team race, but the individual race, who do you think is the favorite to win the individual title?
Well, I mean, Drew's played well all year. He's had a really good year, medalist, I think, 6 or 7 times. So I think he's got to be one of the favorites.
Well, do you have a personal goal for the meet? Would you be happy with, say, a top 20 finish?
Oh, I'd be ecstatic. I'd love a top 20 finish. Really just anywhere where I can improve on my game and have fun out there, I'll take.
Well, you'll be playing in a foursome on Friday with Jack Rogers of Iowa City High and Dylan Crocco of Iowa City West, who are both medalists at their respective district meets on Monday. The other player in your group is Garrett Nure of Cedar Rapids Xavier. So I don't know if you're familiar with any of those guys, but obviously two of them are coming off really good rounds. You know, do you like the challenge of being your team's number one guy and being paired with, you know, some really outstanding players?
I do like that. To me, it's easier to play better when you're playing with people who are also pretty good. It just keeps the flow of the game nice, and when everybody's kind of right around each other.
Sure. Well, it should be a fun meet. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'll see you out there. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is a realtor at Caldwell Banker, and he's been on the podcast several times before. I know he has a huge interest in the state golf meet coming up this weekend because our last guest is his son, and he also has another son, Tiernan, who will be in the Centennial lineup as well. He is Andy Logan. Andy, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, it's great to be here, Dan. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Well, I've seen you out at a few meets this season, so I know you're a pretty dedicated dad. You know, I'm guessing you'll be out there at Otter these next 2 days, huh?
Absolutely. Although if I had my choice tomorrow, I'd be at home. So.
Yeah, it sounds like the weather is going to get a little nasty, maybe.
But. Absolutely.
Well, do you get pretty nervous, you know, watching your kids play?
You know what? I did when I first started, but I have tempered that, and I know they can handle their own now. So.
Well, they've had a good year, so you got to be pretty proud of them.
I'm very proud of both of them and all the Jaguar team.
Well, Tiernan will tee off on number 10 at 10:30, and he'll probably be a few holes into his round when Tate tees off at 11:20. So how are you able to watch both of your sons, or do you kind of have to split up the round a little bit?
You know what? That's I go every other time. So every other meet I go with Tate, and every other meet I go with Tiernan. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep.
So I guess this weekend you can do one day with one. And
exactly. Tate is the first day, and Tiernan will be the second day this week. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like the Centennial players, you know, should be able to go out there and just let it rip because, I wouldn't think there'd be a lot of outside pressure on the Jaguars. What advice would you give your sons before the meet?
100%. They're playing with house money. Just go out and play golf. Get out of your own way and play golf.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Well, before I let you go, you know, let's talk a little real estate, too. It seems like for quite a while now I've been discussing the higher interest rates with the various real estate agents, you know, that come through on the podcast, and I hate to be a Debbie Downer and always talk about the negative things, but so is there anything positive that you could say to the listeners out there who might be thinking about buying?
100% there is. House prices have come down a little bit, so we're starting to offset a little bit of that interest rate. I understand it's still a little bit more than we're traditionally looked at, but overall, our interest rate traditionally is still super good, and with house prices finally dropping a little, if you have another home with equity in it, you're going to be doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, are there any properties you want to talk about that you're dealing with right now?
Absolutely. So we still have MJ and us have two properties left at 2802 Northwest 29th and 1602 Southwest Westwood.
Okay.
Two fantastic properties, standalone villas, no HOA. And great pricing. So,
how big are those units?
Yeah, so 1602 is about 1600 square feet, just a hair under 1600 square feet, and 2802 is 1550. They both have about 800 finished down.
All right.
So yeah, great properties, MJ quality.
I know about the MJ quality. What's the price range on those units?
So 1602 is 484, and 2802 is 3999.
Uh-huh. That's pretty good. You can remember all this stuff at the top of your head.
Absolutely. We've been doing it for a minute or two, so yeah.
There you go. Well, if anybody's interested in those properties or anything else that you deal with, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Andy Logan. andy.logan@cbdsm.com or 979-4494.
All right, Andy. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today, and I'll see you out there tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker and MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs, develop long-lasting relationships, and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Coach Mike Weddingfeld and Drew Henson of the Ankeny Boys Golf Team, followed by Coach Andrew Reedy and Tate Logan of the Ankeny Centennial Squad, followed by Andy Logan from Coldwell Banker. Appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.